gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers align, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages with all mental health issues, including addiction. And our confidential number is 718-758-0400. We are a referral agency for 22 years, over 51,000 families that reached out to MASK. We're here to help you help your loved ones. If somebody needs a referral for a therapist, inpatient, outpatient clinic, intensive outpatient clinic, whether it's for addictions, whether it's for internet addiction or drug addiction, alcohol addiction, whether it's for any mental health issues that you may be looking for some issues, for some information about, please feel free to call the MASK's confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. Maybe you want to write that down. For yourself, your spouse, your loved one, maybe someone, a neighbor or you sit next to in shul, please jot down our number, 718-758-0400. So tonight we are going to be speaking about chronic pain, and that's something that's really, the helpline has been getting calls day in and day out about family members, loved ones that have chronic pain and are suffering. And we have with us tonight a very, very dear friend, a colleague, started as a colleague, became a dear friend, and that's Dr. Louise Stanger. I'd like to welcome you. How are you tonight?
Oh, my God, I am so good. I am so honored to be on your show, and I'm so honored to support MASK. It does the most wonderful work in New York and helping families of our persuasion. So thank you so much for having me here tonight.
Thank you. And I'm not sure you know, Dr., is that we are not only in New York, but we are actually around the world. And we've only dealt with families, me and you, that were in New York, but MASK actually has referrals all over the world, including Israel, Australia, California, wherever they may be, we have referrals. I'm also, just so my listeners know, I'm a board member at Nefesh International, which actually is over 800 from therapists. And we have available around the world. So if anyone out there needs a referral, feel free, give us a call. You can call anonymous, and then we can try and figure out what it is you're looking for so we can try and help you get to the right person as quickly as possible, the right therapist, the right professional, or the right rehab. So I just want everyone to know that Dr. Stanger, Louise, can I call you Louise?
Oh, please. There's some
okay.
people either call me Dr. Okay. Louise, or if they really love me, they sometimes call me Dr. Wheezy, but
okay.
Dr. Louise.
Okay, so Dr. Louise, she has been a professor and a clinician for over four decades, and I must publicly, on the radio, I want to say congratulations, because I know this year you were awarded the 2019 Interventionist of the Year Award by McLean Harvard Hospital. So I want to tell you, Mazel Tov.
Oh, my God, thank you. And that, too, was a global award. It was also, it was given in London at an event sponsored by, and I know they're big supporters of MASS, DB Resources, which likes to refer to you as well globally. So I'm so honored. Thank you so much.
So let's get right to it. Dr. Louise, you're an interventionist. Just so my listeners understand what that means, can you explain it to us, please?
Just really briefly, people call me when their hearts are hurting. Their loved one is experiencing addiction, chronic pain, anxiety, depression, other mental health disorders. It could be sexual addiction. It could be gambling, shopping. And they really don't know what to do. And so they call me, and I can help them either invite or move their loved one to change, help them with treatment planning and placement, or refer them, always refer them to you if what they need is, you know, good therapists across the globe. But my job is to help people become the person they're meant to be and to help them live healthy lives and to get their loved one who is experiencing some sort of addiction, and maybe addiction with chronic pain, as we'll talk about today, to get the help that they so desperately need.
And I know that Dr. Louise is unbelievable about getting back to you, being involved. She coaches the family. She has different programs that are available. We don't talk about a fee on the phone, but this is something when families are really stuck and really need to move along. Sometimes the client is not prepared to go in treatment. Sometimes the parents have a difficult time. So Dr. Louise is wonderful to work with. And anyone that wants to speak to Dr. Louise can always call MASS and we can have her get back to you. So let's talk about our subject today is chronic pain. You know, there are different kinds of chronic pain. There are pains from trauma. There are pains from car accidents, any accident, falling off a ladder to getting hurt in any kind of a situation. There is back pain, which many people suffer from when their stress hits it. And it's important that we understand what chronic pain is and what's different on the different kinds of pain. So let's get started with, can you tell us what is chronic pain and how many people are affected by chronic pain today? And by the way, what are some of the medical conditions that one sees as chronic pain, please?
Chronic pain affects over 133 million Americans, or over one-third of our population, with an annual cost of $635 million. It's more common amongst women than men, and often more common amongst older people. But what do we mean by chronic pain? And you did such a beautiful job. There's a few others. Nearly two-thirds of people with chronic pain report problems with sleeping, arthritis, fibromyalgia, Crohn's disease, concussions, spine problems, accidents, pelvic pains, hips, knees, or shoulders, facial pain, and of course you mentioned like accidents. Right now we're seeing a surge of accidents from driving while texting. And what about the weekend warrior or the person that says, you know, after Sabbath, I'm going to take on and do, afterwards, Sabbath is over, I'm going to take on and do some things around the house. I'm going to repair things, and I end up harming myself as well. The common more types are 28% of all our population reports low back pain, 15% report migraine or headache, 15% neck pain, 4% facial pain. So when you think about it, and often we also don't think about teens with chronic pain because that's a whole separate subject, and I know your listeners out there might have a teen with chronic pain. But to answer your question, what exactly is chronic pain? chronic pain is really pain that lasts longer than 12 weeks. So most of all that happens heals within, and it's called acute pain, and it lasts with a short duration or hours or days. So you fall, you hurt, you have an accident, you might break your leg. The cause is usually really clear cut. And the effects on the behavior, you go to the ER, you're treated, and treatments are highly effective. And most pain heals, or most whatever's wrong, heals within 90 days. When we talk about chronic pain, we mean pain that has lasted longer than is expected for healing. And the cause cannot be clear, and the effects on the behavior can be subtle and hard to understand, and medication is only partially affected. And the side effects of treatment become harder to tolerate over time, and they interfere with normal functioning.
So how does chronic pain differ from acute pain?
It lasts more than 90 days.
Got it.
Okay. And with acute pain, most everything heals within 90 days.
Right.
So what happens, and it's hard to just condense in a really short time, that one, all pain is real, but emotions drive 97% of all chronic pain.
That's what I wanted to get to. So let's say somebody has a back problem, mm-hmm. and they do have real pain, and their doctor recommends medications. What happens after the 90 days when a lot of times one's stress, that's where it may land, in the lower back or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they end up over-medicating sometimes, taking mm-hmm. more painkillers. I want to touch on that, about the psychological effect of ongoing pain. It's really important because, substance abuse and anxiety and mm-hmm. depression intertwine with chronic pain. So I'd like you to address that, please.
So I think you asked a beautiful question. Let me be clear. I think it's the University of, I don't have the study right in front of me, but I use it all the time when I speak, the University of Arkansas did a study, and perhaps you grew up in a family that had addiction, mental health, substance use, trauma, but after 10 days of taking any opioid, you stand a 20% chance of getting addiction. What happens is, and I'll try and do this very simply, Descartes thought that our brain was our friend, but what happens with addiction and with chronic pain, our brain no longer becomes our friend. We have these things, if you just pull your head and you pull your hair, and we have these things called neurotags. People, places, things, thoughts, feelings, and actions. And what happens in chronic pain, we become attached, our brain becomes attached to the chronic pain. If we take opioids for too long of a time, we have a condition called hyperalgesia, in which the pain now is from the opioid you might have and not from what the real condition is. So when we have overlapping features of chronic pain and addiction, we have a loss of control, a loss of mastery, a loss of sense of self. We make mistakes. We catastrophize. And it may be that this was caused by whatever that trauma happened to be. You mentioned, I love the fact that you mentioned trauma. Oftentimes when we grow up, we may experience something that we consider traumatic. It may be a car accident. It may be unwanted sexual advances. And we hold that kind of pain, that kind of trauma in our body.
Right. And then, there are people that have a hard time sleeping when they're in pain, right? Pain and anxiety makes it very difficult to sleep, right? So like it's a vicious cycle, because a lack of sleep makes pain worse and lowers your energy. So then in the morning, your mood, you have chronic pain, and it limits You know, it puts your life on, you know, depression, anger, anxiety, and then the coping gets even harder. Then your activity gets affected by it because you have a lack of energy and you're not, you know, you're not exercising, you're not moving, you're not, you're tired, you're in a bad mood. And then with no energy, you know, it drains you, this whole, you know, thing of having so much pain. So then you're back into the, I want to go to sleep. And it just goes around and around. And it's very, very difficult to deal with chronic pain. Like you said, if you get hooked on the opioids take over. And then it is not really only the back that you're struggling with. So how does, let's talk more about how the brain tricks us with chronic pain, please.
Well, there's a wonderful book that I would refer you to. It's called Pain is Strange, and it's written out of London.
But I didn't get that.
What happens, it's called Pain is Strange, and it's very inexpensive on Amazon. It's written by a doctor. But what happens is, say, for example, our brain sends signals to us, and it tells us things are good, things are not good. I'm just going to really simplify it. And we know, for example, with amputees, they have phantom pain, which is really impossible. So our brain, when we are in chronic pain, our brain says we need more, more, more. And most of the time, it's more of addictive substances, like more Oxycontin, more codeine. And what we're saying is that we have to retrain. So if you think of chronic pain like addiction as an attachment disorder, we get attached to unhealthy behaviors. We get attached to different ways of being. We have to then retrain our brain to be able to live differently. What this becomes really difficult because chronic pain becomes difficult to explain to families. First of all, families cannot hear your pain. Nobody can feel your pain. 75% of all marriages end in divorce when one partner experiences chronic pain. They don't understand. They can't see, hear, or feel. And with families, whether it's a teenager or it's a wife or a sister or a brother, you see increased responsibilities for transporting and for to truly try and understand. So families with chronic pain get frazzled, bewildered, confused, angry, mad. They cannot see, they cannot feel, they cannot hear. They only know that their life is really becoming unmanageable.
And it's very important to determine the appropriate treatment plan, of course. It's like a crucial component of pain relief because you can get sucked into those opioids. And people get addicted and they tell themselves, no, I'm not addicted, I'm careful. But yeah. I think it's out of their control.
Well, I think nobody in my life ever start out to become an addict or have the disease of substance abuse. With chronic pain, with chronic pain, which is different than straight addiction, you have a lot of doctors that had given you medication. So you're saying, well, the doctor told me to do this, the doctor told me to do that, so you think you're following. But it, as we know, the opioid epidemic, things ran riot. But pain, in order for pain to continue, it needs an audience. There are ways to really help families in doing this because people don't hurt as much if they have something better to do and that they are asked to do things. There are a bunch of ways in which one can begin to deal with chronic pain so everybody can live their best life possible.
So somebody that is addicted to the opioids and thinks that they are controlling it, what recommendations would you be giving to that person if pain management doesn't help, if they think they're in control of it, but they have the withdrawals, they have all the signs of withdrawals?
You know, I think that their families and they can benefit from help. There are a limited number of places, which you're aware of, that can really help families and help loved ones medically detox from the opioids and have the modalities necessary to begin to live a life well lived. I mean, I do think that for loved ones, I think there's, you need to be really well versed. You need to attend and learn about a condition and get a consent form from a doctor. You have to understand, at least with low back pain that you mentioned, MRIs are overgiven. People get MRIs when people don't understand. 95% of all MRIs don't show anything. You've got to learn about pain management strategies, and you've got to help collaborate in goal setting and set healthy boundaries. Like, your loved one can make their bed. They can eat. They can do things. I do think there's about the Center for Disease Control offers about 8 different evidence-based modalities that help with chronic pain, and someone that's really wanting to learn that outside of, you know, once you do medical detox, there is obviously cognitive behavioral therapy is really good with restructuring. There's something called acceptance and commitment therapy, but there's alternative modalities such as Qigong, which is an exercise, yoga. Music has been proven to be great for fibromyalgia, arthritis, joint pain, and nerve disorder. Acupuncture has been proven to be good with hip and knee pain, headaches, fibromyalgia, detoxification, spinal manipulation, aquatic therapy. There's different foods that really help reduce pain and inflammation, as well as movement. Most people that specialize in chronic pain will tell you that someone has to move every single day.
Right. So it's important not to do everything for that person, and so that they are forced to get up and move around, because otherwise it just makes it worse for them. And sometimes we want to help our loved ones. We want to take care of them, right? So we're like, oh, she's in pain. He's in pain with his back. I'll get it. I'll do it. I'll bring it. I'll wash the dishes. I'll do whatever. That's what parents of family members are telling me. And what I always hear from you and from others is that they need to be doing more. So it's a very important message. But, of course, to work with a doctor, like you said, family must be educated. Family members need to get a consent form from the patient to agree to speak to the family so that then everybody can be on the same page. And, of course, anyone out there that wants the help from Dr. Louise to coach you or your family member to go inpatient, to get help on an outpatient basis, please call MASC. We are going to put you in touch with her, and she's wonderful. She will call you back. She will get in touch with you. You'll get your answers. It's all about interventions. And she's just, I mean, top of the line. You could even check with Harvard. They gave her the 2019 award for interventionist. Can't get better than that. So let me just ask you. There are resources out there, and they are limited. And we know that things have changed with dentists. You know, they would pull a tooth and give 30, you know, painkillers when you
That's
need
right.
maybe one.
Right.
Right. I want you to talk about that, and please, and talk
okay,
about
it. You know, that's funny. My first husband, who's deceased, bless his soul, was a dentist. And the drugs were free-flowing. In fact, dentists are definitely culprits in overlooked in the opioid epidemic. And the thing is that in defense of all doctors, I mean, if you invited me back, I could tell you about the history of the opioid epidemic. People, you cannot see pain. You cannot hear pain. The scale of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you hurting because you have a root canal? How can I take care of you? And, you know, we live in an instant world where if we hand you a pill, it will get better. Just look at the television sets. But dentists, doctors, all now have some organizations which are geared to reducing reducing the amount of prescription narcotics that one can actually give, which is a good thing. But certainly, if you do have a problem with alcohol or other drugs, and you are getting a surgery or you are going to the dental office, you need to talk to your physician. You need to tell them what it is that you're doing and how much you're taking, because they can honor that with you. There are non-addictive substances now that can be given.
Very important for everyone to know. So one last thing. You have a loved one. They start out with taking some painkillers from a car accident, God forbid, Lolena, or back pain or whatever, and it's very innocent. They, you know, they didn't know they're going to get addicted to opioids once they start. What is that message you want to give to everyone listening tonight about how one can get addicted by being purely innocent and not even going for it, please?
Well, I believe that nobody ever sets out to become an addict or an alcoholic. I believe that when you went to the doctor, you were in pain. The back hurt or something else. If you did it in 2002 when they didn't know anything about opioids, the doctor might give, and they didn't even know about the what oxycodone frequency and quantity was, you might take two, and then the next week you go back and say, hey, doc, I'm still in pain, and he would increase the dosage. And after a while, what you don't realize is that your brain has now tricked you, that now the pain is being caused by the pain pill, which is the term hyperalgesia, and you suddenly become in the throes, and you're depressed, you're anxious, your love life changes, your work life changes, your school life changes if you're a young person, and you're no longer the person, you're there. And your family's also changing because they want to help you so much, and they are powerless, and you may yell and scream at your loved ones. But I want you to know that I hope is available, there is a solution, and that loved ones, family members, your loved one doesn't have to stay in that position. You can pick up the phone, you can call MASK, and find out that there is help available, that everybody deserves to have a best life, because everybody's life has been changed and diminished because of that.
Right. Dr. Louise, it's wonderful always having you on. I hope to have you on again soon. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening. Time flies when we get into a topic that's so important. But we got to close up. So let me wish everyone a wonderful evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And let's always remember, hang in. Hold on, hug tight. Thank you.
Stuttering. This often misunderstood disability affects over 3 million Americans, and despite decades of research, both basic and clinical, the causes are still largely unknown and hard to treat.
Hi, my name is Yitzchak Weiss, founder of Speech Art. I'm a speech coach who for the last 15 years has been specializing in helping speech stutterers. I myself was a stutterer as a child, until my late teens. I know firsthand that most stutterers go through years and years of pain. With Hashem's help, I've been able to successfully treat hundreds of people in a relatively short period of time, using methods I have developed over many years. The biggest chesed of helping a stutterer is showing them how easy they can help themselves and not go through a very long and lonely trip.
Please. Contact Yitzhak Weiss, celebrated speech coach at Speech Art. For a consultation about how you or a loved one who's suffering from stuttering, lisps, and other speech impediments can find relief, call 929-444-3130. That's 929-444-3130.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.